Radio. The transmission and reception of electromagnetic waves on radio frequency, especially those carrying sound messages, or the activity or industry of broadcasting sound programs to the public. Fanboy. A male fan, especially one who behaves in an obsessive or overexcited way.
This is the Radio Fanboy Podcast, and here's your host, Bevo.
We're very lucky to be joined by a lady who I grew up listening to on Triple M. She did the late night show called The Long Kiss Goodnight. Years later, you might have heard her on Gold FM, which also went around the country as the School of Rock. Let's welcome along Simon Filer. Hello, Simon.
Hi, Bevo. How are you?
Very good. I'm so excited to have you on the podcast.
Oh, it's great to be here with you.
You're a bit of a voiceover artist these days with your own self-employed business, yeah?
Yeah, well, I actually run Brisbane Audiobook Productions, I make audiobooks.
Yeah, that's a great little transition from radio into audiobooks and that amazing voice of yours. A lot more people will be able to hear it on. Let's talk about the radio journey. Your beginnings, where did you start?
I started doing work experience at 4MK Mackay when I was in grade 10.
Oh, yeah.
The school I went to, I had to ride past on my bike, which was like it seemed like a 50K ride every day there and back. But I had to ride past the radio station every day. So after work experience, I decided, I'm going to be on the radio. So I hassled the program director there, Phil Moyer, every day, until eventually he said, "Rightio, well, you can come in and do some odd jobs." Like, I was peeling stickers off records back in the day, when they changed categories. I know. Such humble beginnings. And then I learnt the panel, of course, because that's what you do when you get into radio. And then one Friday afternoon, I was in there and the guy that was panelling Barry Bissell's Take 40 Australia didn't rock up, and I was like, I can do it, I can do it. So that was my first gig.
Oh, that's cool. I'm hearing a very similar story. No matter who I talk to, everyone started either panelling John Laws or Barry Bissell's Take 40 Australia.
Is that right? And I loved the show. So it was like, it was so awesome. I got to hear my favourite show whilst working and getting paid for it.
Oh, yeah. Great, great little gig, isn't it? You ended up at Triple M. How far down the corridor from when you started at 4MK?
Right. Well, I started at 4MK and I was working there doing mid-dawns actually during my final year of high school. And then I got a full-time gig at 4CC in Gladstone.
Yeah.
And I did nights there, six nights a week from 6 to midnight.
Ouch.
That was one hell of a gig, for 2 years. So, that was pretty good grounding, I can tell you. And then after that, I came to Brisbane, actually, and I did a short stint at Triple M doing mid-dawns. That's when Bruce Stalder was the program director. And then I did some stuff at CFM and Gold FM. Then I went to Canberra and worked at the first CHR station in the country. I don't know why they did it in Canberra, but anyway, Kix 106 FM.
Yeah, possibly.
The public service people loved that hit radio.
Did you work with Boyd Tichinski down there?
Yes, I did. Boyd.
Hey, there you go. It's a name I haven't heard for a while, but
yeah, they were heady days, I can tell you. I worked with quite a few amazing people down there. So I did Floating to begin with and was the music director there, and then did Drive. Then that kind of wound up after 2 years. I seem to have a track record 2 years at any one place. Came back here, did some more work at CFM, and then got the gig at Triple M. I was driving the Rock Patrol while Mike Perso was the program director. And then I was also going through a really hard time because my mum was really unwell at the time. She had cancer, so I was kind of looking after her. So I was kind of doing part-time work. And then, not long after, after she passed away, Mike Perso said, "Hey, do you want to do late nights?" So, that was one of my favourite gigs, doing late nights at Triple M, doing the Long Kiss Goodnight.
It really made you a name in Brisbane, especially for a young teenage boy listening to you while he was, trying to fall asleep, and there's this amazing voice booming through the speakers talking about the Long Kiss Goodnight with Simon Filer.
That's terrifying.
Nothing, sinister or anything like that, but just the name and how it all came about. Long Kiss Goodnight, was it from the movie? Is that where it stemmed from?
Well, Mike Perso actually came up with the idea. So yeah. And I'd done a lot of work in CHR radio, so I was really hyper and in my announcing style, you know, like, it's Kix 106 FM, this is blah, and that's coming up and whatever. And Mike Purso I did a lot of coaching with him. He's one of the best in the industry, in the country, if you ask me. But he said, you know, like, just, I want you to really slow down. In fact, I want you to talk so slowly it's going to sound like you're going backwards in your head.
Oh, wow.
Took a bit of coaching, yeah. But eventually, he said, you've got the sound now. And, yeah, it was really successful. Before I got on the air, there was the night team, Dave Dangerfield. He was a legend. Sadly, he passed away too. And Helena, they were on before me, and, like, they would have calls coming in their show from about an hour prior saying, oh, they just want to talk to you. Just record, because I just played everyone's song, you know. That was my deal. Yeah. I don't know if the music director at the time was too happy with me, because the next day I would have, like, just crossed out the songs and put in the songs the listeners wanted.
I just had this visual of you, like, with a cigarette and then just, you know, having a puff and then talking, doing your talk break, having another puff, and, you know, you're just nice and relaxed. Just one of those, I don't know, theatre of the mind things that you were creating, just this really cool chick at night doing her thing.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah, well, it was a really cool gig, and I loved, you know, being able to talk to the listeners and play their songs. So that's one of my big beliefs. Radio should be all about playing people's songs that they want to hear. So, you know, if you can have a request radio, that would be my ideal radio.
So years later, you ended up back on the wireless at Gold FM doing not the Long Kiss Goodnight, but the School of Rock.
Yeah, well, there was a bit of a transition in between that. So I did late nights, I think, for about 2.5 years or so, and then I decided I needed a whole change of life because, as I said, my mum passed away, and a couple of years later, Dave Dangerfield passed away, and I was like, I'm out of here. I'm going to go overseas. So I went to England and I scored a really cool gig in Cambridge. I programmed a station there for a couple of years called Q103, so yeah. I did drive there as well.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, I started out as a music director, and that was such a cool experience. The radio over there is, yeah, just so electric and alive, and it was just really different being an Aussie on a, you know, an English station. So I had a really good reception over there, really worked with some great people in the industry there too. And, yeah, so I was there for about 2.5 years again, around about there. Came home because I just couldn't stand the English weather. It was so grey. Like, the culture is so fabulous, but the weather, especially if you've been spoilt living here in Queensland, brings you right down.
Yeah, exactly.
Waking up to the grey day every day. But so I came home, and then I did I got a music directing gig at River, working with Richard Burns, yeah, who I also think is amazing.
Yeah.
He's been a bit of a hard boss. I think sometimes he got a hard rap, but he's really good at his craft. So I worked for him for a while, and also at 4CC. I actually went back to 4CC somewhere in between when we were networked. So there was 5 stations we were broadcasting to, and I think it was one of the first networked stations actually in the country.
Yeah, Kieran Atkinson was telling me all about his time doing that. So you must have met him there.
Yeah, I worked with Kieran, yeah, right, in the early days, I think both times actually.
Yeah.
So he would have told you about the Wall of Death, the cart machines. Oh my goodness.
Danger.
Bevo, I'm telling you. That was the scariest thing ever. So, like, there were 5 cart racks stacked up high, I think 5 across. And the old cartridges, so you'd put the cartridges in, hopefully they weren't timed. I mean, they were timed properly, but if they weren't timed, mate, it was hell trying to find out which particular station had the, you know, like the short break and how to put that card in from where it was coming. It was like an experience, man. That was like an arc I've never known.
Talk about stress.
High stress. So the majority of the time when you were actually doing that gig, you were concentrating on just getting the ads in and making sure they were running to time. So,
oh, those were the days, the stressful days of radio. Now you've just got a computer that does it all for you.
I know. It's so easy now. But we did actually transition to a thing called Audisc at the time.
Wow, that was like one of the earlier ones.
Yeah, that was like, yes. Yeah, I think probably one of the first.
Mm.
So then after I did that, I came back from England, and then I fell pregnant with twins. So I was working at Hot Tomato at the time and did casual work there. And then once I had the twins, my whole life changed. There was no time for radio. There was just time for twins. Mm. So that was pretty crazy. And then 2010, I kind of came up for air and... yeah, they advertised a gig for the School of Rock at Gold FM, so that broadcast nationally as well. So that was really cool.
Did that bring back memories of doing the Long Kiss Goodnight on a, you know, broad, a grander scale, I guess you could say?
Kind of. Well, it was a bit of a different, it was a rock format, but yeah, the requests weren't so thick and fast like they were on the Long Kiss Goodnight. I think that was the foundation for the Long Kiss Goodnight. You know, yeah, I still did the classic album now, but... yeah, just a listener interaction. I've not actually to date been able to measure that. That was just, really, really, cool working with the listeners. But the School of Rock was a bit different. So I basically talked about albums and talked about, you know, what happened in the rock music industry, interviewed various people. I've been really lucky that I've got to interview, you know, a lot of famous names and had conversations with a lot of people. So that's been one of the real joys of working in radio.
Do you think your background working on Triple M's Long Kiss Goodnight got you that gig, being able to, you know, sort of transition from that rock station across to a rock show at night?
Yeah, I reckon most definitely, for sure. I think, I got a lot of credibility working at Triple M. I always wanted to work at Triple M. When I was there, when I first went there, I was like, oh my goodness, I'm in the building.
Yeah,
I'm
going
on air. I couldn't believe it. And then, I just really felt the culture. You know, I just felt like that was my place to be at Triple M.
You were the rock chick, weren't you? And you always will be.
Yes, I am. And your vision probably wasn't too far from the truth, just quietly, Bevo.
Those were the days of radio where you could pretty much do whatever you wanted.
That's right. They were really cool days, you know. Like, I'd probably bring in a full pack of Bundy rum cans for Dave Dangerfield and myself.
Yeah.
Helena might have had one.
Oh, Bundy Bear, through and through. That's what I like to hear. So talk about your new business being a voice for audiobooks. This is kind of cool.
Okay, well, so I really, obviously I've still kept my hand in, so I also do in-store radio. So if you go into Drake's and IGA around the nation, I do the voice tracking in there. So I've kind of had my own studio, and then I teamed up with this publisher when I was doing actually community radio. I was helping at the local station here. And this publisher said, hey, can you do an audiobook? And I kind of thought, that's really interesting. Mm. So then I just said, And the first lady came in, Jenny Old, with her book McAllister, and that was, I think, about a 12-hour recording session, recorded that. And then I thought I could probably make a business from this. So I have voiced some of the work that people have approached me with, but the majority of things that I like to do is actually get the authors to self-narrate.
Yes.
So... you know, it's really good because they've written the book and they know the story better than anyone else. So if they're okay with being in front of a microphone, I feel like I've got the wherewithal to, really get a good delivery out of them, and that's what I specialise in.
So the platform is Audible, is that the main one, or is there others out there as well?
Yeah, it goes everywhere. It goes to Audible, Amazon, audiobooks now. I think there's about 40 different places globally that I put the book up to.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah,
kind of cool. And do you actually get, how does it work? Do you get the script sent to you, or do you actually get the physical paper book and you need to basically just read page to page?
Well, I obviously, because, it's going up there forever, you want to have the best sound, so I get a PDF sent to me. So when the authors are narrating it, I'm actually in the studio, but I have got a soundproof booth. So they go in there, read from the PDF off an iPad, and I get the hard copy because, obviously, everybody makes mistakes during it, so I just mark where the mistakes are and put it all together afterwards. So it's really different. So every hour that they record takes about... well, a minimum of 2 hours in editing, so...
It's a lengthy process by the sounds of it, that's for sure.
It really is, it really is. And I really didn't read much when I was a kid, so I'm very lucky now that I get to actually have the authors telling me their stories.
Yeah, it's the easy way of doing it. I'm kind of the same thing. I'd prefer to listen to something than read it myself, but,
Well, it certainly frees up your time if you're listening. I think that's the beauty of audio, you know, the way it's exploded, that you can exercise or do the housework or, you know, what, cook or whatever, your garden, whatever it is, you can listen to podcasts and audiobooks.
Yeah, especially those people that do long drives and so forth.
They commuting.
Work, yeah, just chuck on definitely. An audiobook and you've got all that information in your head.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Simon Filer, thank you so much for joining us on the Radio Fanboy podcast. Very good to hear your story.
Oh, thanks so much, Bev. I've really enjoyed chatting with you today. Thanks for having me.
Do you have a website so we can check out what you do?
Yeah, of course. It's brisbaneaudiobookproduction.com.
Awesome. I'm going to check it out right now. Thanks, Simon Filer.
The Radio Fanboy Podcast, hosted by Bevo and produced by Matt Fulton Productions. Dan Hill speaking.